Well, good afternoon, ANCF. Yes, it's good to be together. We are going through the book of Joshua as we are learning about how God has prepared something for his people. But in order for them to have it, they're going to have to enter in and engage in warfare. And we understand that this is a literal thing that took place in the history of the nation of Israel that we can learn tremendous spiritual lessons from for our own life. And for our life together. In fact, we're believing, again, that the reason why we're going through this book is because we're in a season where God has impressed us that there's an expansion that we are to be a part of. And that as we study this book, we're expecting that our faith is going to grow, that we're going to see more of what it is that God wants us to be doing, and that as we enter into that together, that God is going to give us an increase. In fact, I think it's safe to say that God loves increase. He loves to increase our faith. He loves to increase the areas that he would give us to serve in as we grow in faithfulness. You know, from the very beginning, when God spoke to the first people, the first command after he blessed them was, be fruitful and multiply. And Jesus himself, of course, in describing the nature of our relationship with him, says that if we abide in him, that we will bear much fruit. In fact, God has built into the very design of things that he loves expansion. In Isaiah chapter 9, in speaking about the ministry of Jesus Christ, it says, of the increase of his kingdom and his righteousness, there will be no end. God has, that's going to be really interesting, for eternity, that there's going to be this increase of God's kingdom. In fact, God even created the universe to expand. Right? If it stops expanding, we're in trouble, by the way. Built into the very design of things is God expanding things, expanding our faith, expanding his righteousness, expanding his kingdom. And so we want to be a part of that, don't you? Okay. And so we're going to plunge into this study in Joshua to see how God wants to do that. We started 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago, in chapter 1. And chapter 1 is about commitment to the purpose of God. That God challenged Joshua to commit himself, and then Joshua turned to the people and asked them to commit themselves to the purpose of God. So they did commit themselves. And in fact, in chapter 1, verse 16, the people answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. What a great commitment that was, that they were fully committed to the purpose of God. Chapter 2 is about information. That is, that Joshua sends two spies into the land to scope it out and for them to get an understanding of what God is doing there. And we studied last week about the amazing thing that God was doing in preparing a woman of peace, a woman of faith, an unlikely woman named Rahab, who was going to be the means by which God was going to bring them into the land with information. And as a result of her faith, we saw how God tremendously blessed her, not only with her salvation and that of her family, but to make her part of the lineage of Christ. But chapter 1 is about commitment, and chapter 2 is about information. But if you remain in chapter 1, you're not in the land that God has promised. And if you're in chapter 2, you're not in the land that God has promised. You have to get to chapter 3. And chapter 3 is about the obedience of God's people actually moving into the land. We don't want to just stay at the stage of commitment in our lives. Oh, yes, I will do it. We don't want to stay at the stage of information to say, oh, now I understand how God is going to do it. We want to actually obey God. And so you want to get into chapter 3. You never want to just read chapter 1 and chapter 2. Chapter 3 is essential. We have to actually get into the land. We have to actually possess and receive the thing that God has prepared for us. And so I'm so glad we get to do chapter 3 today, because they get into the land today. And I'm excited about that. I hope you are. Let's pray before we read it. Lord, thank you that your word is active and alive, that it's not just a story that's written here in history, but it's something that your Holy Spirit can activate and show us how it applies to our life. And so we're praying that you would do that today, Lord. You would put power in your word to change us and to help us to see what you want us to do. And Lord, that you would transform us to be more like you. Lord, increase our faith today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, if you want to turn to Joshua chapter 3, I'd like to read it out loud together in the NIV. And I think you have NIV Bibles in your pew there. I think it's a healthy exercise not just to be listening, but to be engaged in reading together. So I'd like to read it together out loud. I'm sorry, I'm not going to put it up on the screen here. You're going to have a Bible. I want you to get used to looking in the Bible together too. That's a good thing to do. If you don't have a Bible, see if someone near you has a Bible. And by the way, if you don't have a Bible, there's Bibles in the back there that you can use too, that are back there. And you can pull one out when you come in. All right, ready? Here we go, starting in Joshua chapter 3, verse 1. Let's begin. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." Joshua said to the priests, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people." So they took it and went up ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river." Joshua said to the Israelites, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. As soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap." So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Wow, what a great story. And we're going to look at four aspects of faith today. The first one is that faith involves following the leading of the Holy Spirit. The focus of our faith is not faith. The focus of our faith is God. And in this story, they are told that what is going to happen is that this small box called the Ark of the Covenant was going to go ahead of them. The priests were going to carry it. And they were to then follow and to move out when they saw this box moving out into the middle of the river. Now, let me give you a little background, because not everyone may be familiar with this little box called the Ark of the Covenant. You know, there's two arks in the Bible. There's the ark that Noah built that was pretty big, you know, 450 feet long and 75 feet wide. And I don't know all the dimensions. It was a big boat. But this box, this ark, was a really small one. It was about 3 1/4 feet long and about 2 1/4 feet wide and about 2 1/4 feet deep. But it was so significant because God, in revealing to Moses the way that he wanted to be worshipped, gave him a design for a type of portable temple. And the key piece in that temple was this little box. Because this box, God said, would be the place where he would meet with Moses, he would meet with the priests, and he would reveal his glory to them at this box. And you say, well, why would God choose a box to be the place where he would meet people? Well, the box represented something. It represented at least four things about God. It represented, first of all, the mercy of God. Because on this box was a cover. It was all overlaid with gold, and there was these two angels that's wings would be pointed to one another, to touching at the top of this box. And it was there that the priest would come in and offer the blood of the sacrifice of animals that would be placed there on this altar. And God said this was a picture of the forgiveness of sins. And so the title of that part of the box was called the mercy seat, the seat of mercy, where the sins of people were being shown to be forgiven because of the sacrifice that was made, which of course was a picture of Christ. But inside the box were three things. And those were very significant things because they represented the provision of God, because they had a small bowl of manna that God had provided for them as they went through the wilderness, this daily food provision. And God said, put some of that in the box so you'll remember I am the God who provides for you. And also in the box was the law of God, the Ten Commandments, where God said, this is my faithful instruction to show you how to live. And also in the box was the rod of Aaron, by which Moses performed the miraculous, mighty powers of God in Egypt. And that was to represent the power of God. And so this little box, in essence, represented the presence of God in the midst of his people. This was God, the way that they would know he was present with them. The ark was a picture of people being saved in God. But the Ark of the Covenant was a picture of God being in the midst of his people. And so when God is instructing his people to go into the promised land, he says, when this box starts to move, which is my presence, which is the place where my presence is known, you follow it. It's going to move out ahead of you. And so faith involves seeing where God is working, where God is moving, and saying, that's where I want to go, that's where I want to be. This is pretty critical to exercise faith. We have to know, where is God leading in my life? And the people here were given a very clear instruction. You are going to see where God is leading you. Now, they're told something about where God is going to lead them, which is very significant. He says to them, you follow because you have never been this way before. You've been wandering 40 years in the wilderness. You've never been into this land. In fact, as you know, a whole generation of people died because they had unbelief and were unwilling to go into the land. But now God is saying, you're going in, and you've never done it before. You got to follow my presence. You got to follow my lead. Now that is encouraging to know that when God tells us to do something, he isn't saying, see you later, go and do it, have fun. No, God is out in front, and he's leading us. And this is, we need to know the seasons and the times. We need to know what is God doing in our life? What is God doing in our generation? What is God doing in our church? Where is he moving? You know, in Luke 19, Jesus talks about a very sad time in history. It was a wonderful time because Jesus Christ was the ark. He was God's presence on earth, and he was moving among the people. But when Jesus looked at the nation of Israel and he looked at Jerusalem and he saw the city, it says he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. It says, but you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. They didn't recognize the presence of God. They didn't recognize what God was doing. And so Jesus was weeping that they were missing the peace that they so desired that was found in him. So when God is moving, the command is, move out. Move out. You know, I like to look at it like this. Chapter 1 is like you start the car. Start it up. Chapter 2 is that you're at the light, and the light is red, and you're revving the car. Vroom, vroom. And then chapter 3 is the light turns green, and you take off. And it's so good when you get the green light from God. It's time to go. Time to move. And you can say, okay, I'm going. Well, this is a key then to growing in faith, is knowing which way God is going out ahead of us and what He wants us to do. Now, let me remind us that as we look at this story, God is giving these people a land that He promised to them. He had promised to Abraham by covenant and promised to his descendants a land where they would dwell. How does this translate to us today? Is God giving us a land? And I think the New Testament is very clear. There's no land that God has given us, although the whole earth is the Lord's. What God is giving us is people because of His Son, Jesus, who in His death purchased men and women from every nation and every tribe and every language and every family, that His blood was effective to wipe out the sins of this world, and God is gathering an inheritance for His glory among all the nations. And His church is the vehicle by which this blessing is being translated. And so what He's giving to us is people. And if we are to proceed into the purpose of God and understand what it is that God is doing in this theme of expansion, how are we going to expand? We're going to expand in faith so that we can trust God to use our lives to bring other people into the kingdom. This is about being a faithful disciple of Jesus. In every move of God in history, when God comes upon people in power, what happens is an outflow to the nations. That happened when God spoke to the Moravians and He was moving in them in power. The Moravians said, we've got to go out and share this with others. And it happens in all the moves in history. That's why in Psalm 2:8, God says, ask of me and I will give the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth for your possession. And that's talking about Jesus, but it's now translated into the church. Do you believe this? Do you believe that this is what God is doing in our promised land, is giving us men and women for our inheritance? So that they might be brought to Christ? I believe that. I believe that God in this generation is accelerating the completion of the Great Commission. That this is what God is moving today to complete. And I believe that He's looking, He's moving so that people who were once resistant to the good news of Jesus are turning to Him in numbers. I believe that God is raising up a movement to restore the family in this generation. I believe that God is impressing upon the church our need to deal with people who are in addiction, and to provide freedom and hope to those that are downtrodden and broken. And God is calling on the church to serve among the poor. These are things that God is moving in today. This is our generation. He's calling up a generation of people that are not afraid to sacrifice, that are not afraid to suffer. And He's calling on a generation in the church that are going to be part of the unity of the church in the world and understand that we are all one in Christ. And as part of that, we need to be concerned about those who are part of the suffering church. One of the things that God is impressing upon me is the new season in my life for certain things that I need to follow God into. One of them is to be praying for the persecuted church, for those Christians who are under pressure and suffering around the world. I think I share with you that I'm wearing this armband as a reminder to me to pray for the persecuted church. This comes from Open Doors Ministries, which is one of the ministries that our church supports, and as a way of caring for the persecuted church. I brought some extras, and I'm wanting some of you to join me in praying for the next 30 days for the persecuted church. And if God puts that on your heart, I'm going to make one of these available to you. I have about 15 or 20 of them that I can make available today. This is something that God is doing. Well, what is God doing for you? Where is He moving? Where does He want you to follow Him? This is an important question for you. It's important where He's leading us as a church. But God is moving. Another thing God is doing in my life, He's brought me into a season of time where I know He wants me to travel. That's why in the last year I've been traveling overseas. This is something new that God is moving in my life over the last couple of years. Another thing he's impressing on me, he's wanting me to read and study more. These are things God is saying. I'm moving here. You follow me in this. What is he saying to you? He has something where he wants to move you. He wants to give you a place where his presence is moving, and he says, follow me there. But it's very interesting. He says, move out, but at the same time, keep a distance. You say, man, my desire would be just to hug that box. Say, man, I'm going to get right next to that box. But he said, you keep 1,000 yards from it. You say, what's going on with that? Well, there is a way that we can become irreverent with God's presence. And I believe that God was teaching his people a lesson that they needed to have his presence in their midst, they needed to follow the presence of God, but they should not become overly familiar to the point of becoming disrespectful. And there needs to be this high reverence for the holiness of God. There needs to be this fear of God in a way that we honor with awe who God is. And God was communicating that to the people by them having that distance. But, okay, so the first point is that faith involves us following the leading of the Holy Spirit. Okay, you got that one? You with me? Some of you. Okay, let's go on to number two. Maybe. Go ahead, why don't you advance it for me? Okay, second one. Faith involves stepping out even before God acts. And what I mean by that is, God told them, he told the priests, you take this ark and you step into the water. And he says, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's water, go and stand in the river. Well, God was going to remove the water, but he wasn't going to do it before they first put their feet in the water. Actually, this story is so powerful that it has shaped English language. And for those of you who are studying English as a second language, you should know that a colloquialism in America is get your feet wet. That comes from this story, by the way. This is where it comes from. So where did it ever come from? It's coming from the idea that there's a risk involved, but you have to get started. And so getting your feet wet is the first steps you're taking in order to go forward. So people say, if they're hesitating, you know, I don't know if I want to do this. Hey, get your feet wet. Get started. Don't hesitate. Go ahead. And that's really important because many times we want God to move the waters before we move in. Because what happens if nothing happens when we go in? Right? Now, God could have told them, stand there and just say to the waters, be moved. But he didn't say that. He said, you go stand in the water. Now, sometimes God can, like Moses, raise up the staff and the waters will part like he did at the Red Sea. But this time they were to go in. And I find this is a very helpful thing for us to learn to overcome procrastination. You know, one of the problems with procrastination is, you know, you just don't get started with the first step. That if you are a procrastinator, that one of the keys to overcoming is say, what can I do? Just a little thing to get started. Once I get started and I'm moving, then I can keep going. And that's what God is saying here. You get started and then I'll move. We need to step out when God tells us there's something and trust him that he's going to move once we start moving. Don't despise a day of small beginnings. Don't wait until the waters move in your life. Don't wait for a better season or a better time when God is speaking to you. I mean, it tells us this was flood stage. And it wasn't like the river was, you know, really, let's find the small part of the river. Maybe we can go across there. God said, okay, I'm going to send you across when the river is really wide. I said, God, couldn't we just wait until the dry season? You know, how about that? Make it a little bit easier. God said, no. I'm sending you when it doesn't look like a good time to cross the river, but I'm sending you in. And sometimes we have that problem in our lives. We just want to wait for a better season, you know. When I'm done with my studying, you know, when I'm done with my qualifying exam. Okay, I'm not putting any burden on you to say you should do something when you're under. You know, if you have a qualifying exam and God wants you to focus on that, then do it. But I'm just saying, sometimes God has you to do something when it doesn't seem very convenient to do it. And God wants you to go ahead and do it, take some little steps, and then he's going to do something amazing to help you out. Now, just make sure you're following God in doing it, not because someone else tells you to do it, not because there's an opportunity to do it. You got to find out what God is doing. But, wow, get your feet wet. See what God will do once you get started. Next. Okay, third. Okay. Faith opens a door for God's supernatural work. Because God says that once the priests were moving, that he was going to perform this amazing miracle, that these waters were going to pile up and make a way through this river for the people to cross over. Wow. Once they start acting in faith, God shows up and does something amazing. You know, I think, remember Rahab in chapter 2 when she acted in faith by risking her life, then God acted to save her life. The display of God's supernatural power to do this was for at least three reasons. We see there God wanted to confirm their faith. He wanted to confirm the promise, and he wanted them to know that God was real. Now, we know God is real. We believe in him, but when he shows his power, there's something about we say, I really know he's real because I see his works. Well, I think the supernatural work of God is the sign that God has given us victory over our enemies. Because God says, when you see this happen, when this amazing thing takes place, that the waters divide and you walk through, you can be sure that I'm giving you victory over all the inhabitants in this land. Know it. If I do this now, you can be confident I am going to give you victory. That is really good. So let me ask you, why is it important that we see the supernatural works of God? Why is it important that we see God heal people? Why is it important that we see prophetic utterances come forth in the church? Why is it important that we see special wisdom and knowledge displayed? Why is it that we need supernatural provisions of things to do the work of God? Why? Well, why is it important? It's important not only because the love and compassion of God is being communicated to the people who receive those things, but it's also because it is the assurance that the kingdom that is coming, where there is no more sickness, and where God's will is done perfectly, is breaking in to this time to give us the assurance that that is coming in fullness, that God is going to have the complete victory. He's won the victory, and it's going to be worked out for us. I'm confident in that age and that day coming when there will be no sickness and no death and no sorrow and no suffering. And when I see someone healed today, I say, I know it's coming. It's already broken through. And when I see God give a prophetic word for the comfort and edification and encouragement of people, I know that day is coming when there is no sorrow and we will all be comforted in the presence of God. I am so glad, aren't you? And I want to see more of that, don't you? I pray that the supernatural workings of God would spring forth to confirm his word and to be able to see that his kingdom is alive and that he's a living and real God who isn't just, we don't follow some idea. They weren't following some idea into the river. They weren't following some philosophy into the river. They weren't following some law into the river. They were following a living God. Sorry, I'm a little excited today. But I'm just, all right, praise the Lord. I just want to see God at work in our lives because he's a good God. I'll tell you, waters will not stop for rich people. Waters will not stop for educated people. Waters will not stop for priests. Waters will not stop for anyone, but they will stop for God. And God will stop waters when the waters prevent people from going in and doing his will. And you can be confident in this thing. If there is something that is blocking you from doing God's will, and you will get started in faith, God will act on your behalf to remove that obstacle. That is the type of God that we serve. God is faithful. He will do it. Listen to some of these verses just to encourage you. The leper said to the Lord, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus said, I am willing. Paul said, but the Lord stood at my right side and gave me strength. so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. That was what Paul was called to do, was to preach to the Gentiles. And he says, and I was delivered from the lion's mouth, and the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory and power forever. God will do it. I'm confident in whom I have believed. I'm convinced that he's able to guard what I've trusted to him to that day. And being confident in this, that he who began a good work will bring it to conclusion. I am confident in my God. He will perform it. And these people will be confident when they saw the supernatural work of God. God was going to give them the victory. And I have many other verses that I would love to share with you. So, let's do number four. Faith involves obedience. It takes a commitment to make. It takes faith to make a commitment to the purpose of God. It takes faith to go ahead and gather the wait. It takes wisdom to wait on the timing of God, but it takes faith to actually cross that river into Canaan. And true faith always produces obedience. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without food and clothing. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about the physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. In Romans 1:5 says that God is calling people from among the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. Hey, when we get down to it, once we leave this place, if we don't go and do the will of God, if we don't do what God is showing us to do, there's no expansion. And your faith is dead. We're not just believing in God. We're not just believing certain things about God. We are living our lives in the way that is to let God work through our lives and to show His works to an unbelieving world. God wants us to do the acts of righteousness. He wants us to serve the poor. He wants us to welcome the stranger. He wants us to deliver those under demonic oppression. This is what God wants us to do. And by faith, we will do it. Well, where is God moving in your life today? Where is God moving? Where is God moving your life? Where does He want you to go? Where is He stimulating your faith? Where is He saying, you've not gone this way before, but I'm leading you there? What are the new steps of faith that God wants you to take in your life? This chapter is challenging us to be able to say, will you move forward in the purpose of God? Will you go to the place God has called you to go? Now I believe that if you're a person who wants to follow God, God is going to show you such things. Because God delights in revealing His will to His people, and He delights on bringing us to new levels of faith, and He delights in showing His power. So I have to believe that if you have an open heart to God, that God is speaking to you, because He's put experiences and gifts in your life, and if you're a follower of Jesus, He's giving you His Holy Spirit, and God doesn't want you just to sit there. He wants you to be co-workers with Him, partners with Him in advancing His kingdom. And I believe God is talking to us corporately too. Now, not all of us are in the same season of life. Some of you might be in the recovery stage. And it's okay, you know. So you hear a message like this, you say, Rich, I just need to rest. Okay, if God has you that place, it's okay. It's not everybody. Every message, God has something for you though. You can have the. If you're in that place where you're in the recovery stage, you can say, well, I look forward to getting to this stage. I look forward to when I'm going to get to the side of the Jordan and it's going to open up and God's going to say, go. He will get you. Will you be a person of faith? Will you get your feet wet? Where is your Jordan River? Where is it? Where does He have you? And where He's saying, come follow me. Well, let's go ahead and pray. Thank you, Lord. For some of you, the Jordan River that you need to cross over is the river of unbelief and come to the place of faith. That is, you have been hearing about God, you've been learning about Jesus, you've been seeing the life of Christians, you've become aware that there is a God who exists, that He loves you, that you are separated from that God because of your own heart, your own sin, and you know that God is calling to you to come and follow Him. But you haven't done it yet. You haven't made that step. And maybe the step for you today of faith, that getting your feet wet, is simply to say, yes, I am going to receive God's gift of forgiveness. And I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. Because I want to follow the same God that led these people through dry land. The same God who sent Jesus to come as a sacrifice for your sins. The same God who promises that He will send His Holy Spirit to be with you. I want to follow that God. So is there anyone here that is God's message to you today? That your step of faith is to open your heart to Jesus today and say, come in, I want to follow you. Anyone here? Is that true for you? That God is speaking to you today? Could you lift your hand? Take that step of faith today? Anyone? Say, I want to follow Jesus today for the first time. I've never gone this way before, but I want to do it. Anyone? This is a great invitation for you. Thank you, brother. Glad to see your heart. Anyone else want to raise their hand today as an expression of that desire? For some of you, your step of faith may be to get baptized. If you're a follower of Jesus and you have never been baptized, this is one of the things that God says to do in obedience to Him. And maybe today is the day you say, I'm going to get baptized. I'm going to make that commitment. And then, of course, your day of obedience will be when you actually get baptized. Maybe for some of you, God is speaking to you about a specific ministry, something that you've been meaning to do but you have not done yet. And today is the day to take those steps, to contact the person, or to decide when in your schedule you're going to do it, or whatever it is, to take that first step. Today is the day to move forward. I don't know what it is, but I believe God is speaking to some, maybe many of you today. Lord, I just thank You for the work of Your Holy Spirit to teach us and to guide us. Thank You for what we read today. Thank You for stimulating our faith. And now, Lord, we just want to respond to You from what You're speaking to us. Give us the grace we need to do that. I think for some of you, your step of faith is to get married. I just think some of you are hesitating in going ahead, and maybe God is saying, hey, go for it. Move ahead. I just sense other things are popping up here. But Lord, just thank You for this time, speaking to us through Your word. In Jesus' name, amen.